We've got to welcome in a guest at this time. One Mark Pike, ready to roll here and come on in. He's been in the green room for quite a while.
Look at you wearing a whistle.
But helping Jim Kelly with his Jim Kelly Youth Football Camp, and a big hug for his former teammate as well. Mark, we're glad we finally got you in here. We were worried.
We were supposed to be in here 2 hours ago. I didn't know if you knew that.
I ate two lunches.
So good to have you. Good to see you.
Thank you.
You know, yeah. I know you're still you're a busy man. You're a mogul now, according to Steve. You're like a business mogul out there with all the things you got going on in the hopper right now. Yeah, it's going pretty well for you, though, right?
I work hard every day, you know.
Mark Pike is the Ron Swanson.
Has anything changed? He's just, y'all have the Ron Swanson. Nice. I'd be more impressed if you could grow that mustache.
Yeah.
That would be more impressive. So how you doing? You doing all right?
I'm doing great. I'm spending the week at Jim Kelly's Lodge. That has been interesting.
Yes, it has. You could have stayed at my house.
We're in the Blonde Fox room.
Yeah, there you go.
Me and Zeke, yeah.
Yeah, Jim's got a nice little, a quaint little small hunting cabin in Ellicottville. Yeah.
It's a chalet.
That would sleep our entire team.
It's a chalet. Yeah.
You didn't even call me and tell me you were coming in town. I knew you were coming in.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're never here. You're always on the road traveling, you know. I don't know, dude. Like
every time I'm in Cincinnati, I call you.
I know you do. You do.
He does take the call as well. I will say that.
Yes, yeah. I do. No, it's been I got my
Give me about that. What are you just rooting these kids on, giving them some
No, man, I'm D-line coaching, man.
Nice.
Yeah, Zeke and I, my son Zeke came down, and we've been working the camp. He works with quarterbacks, and I'm working with the D-line. It's been interesting.
Has any of them asked you if you ever played football at all?
I had to tell them.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, they can figure it out. Yeah, they didn't. I had to tell them.
Well, we talk about the age of these kids now. We were joking with Jim. We had Jim on set yesterday, and we were joking with him because he's telling me he's got grandkids from the first group of kids that came through in 87. Yeah. You know, here we are 30 years later, and he's starting to get some grandkids of the first campers he ever had.
It's strange. I just spoke. They have the chalk talk. That's the they have speakers. Zeke just spoke to the juniors, the seniors, and the juniors. And I spoke to the youth, the bantams, they call them. Right. Wow.
Yeah.
They're first, second, third graders.
He's got veteran counselors that weren't born when this thing started.
Clue. And I'm like telling them they have no clue who I am.
Yeah. Well. There are a lot of people out there, at least in Buffalo, who know who you are. And I told Steve, you know, you guys want to get out in the field house. I'm a former soccer player. I'll punt for you if you want to go run and cover something.
I told him, listen.
We should go out and have and run the 40, me and Steve. I'm going to see if I can beat him.
Ooh. I don't think I can make it.
Who was faster when you were playing? He had you, right?
Who, what?
See, I knew I could strike him.
What are you talking about? I weighed 270.
Yeah, I
beat him by a step.
By a step. So I mean, so refresh my memory, Mark, just in terms of where you would line up in the formation on punt coverage, because obviously Steve was a gunner, and you know he's out there and easy to spot. You're kind of tighter on the formation, right?
Yeah.
Where were you?
Well, on punt, you know, Steve was a gunner. That's outside, and he was out there getting his brains kicked in, usually by two guys.
So. Everybody gets their brains kicked in.
And, no, I was inside. I was next to the center. I was next to Adam Langer.
That's what I thought.
And so I was inside protector, and I covered down the middle of the field. And,
it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I loved covering punts.
Yeah. Our good friend Bruce DeHaven, who was brilliant and at dissecting film. And
Jim Kelly keeps blowing my phone up, man.
Where are you?
Jim wants to know, where are you? Is he getting you because he wants to know where you are?
I don't know.
So Mark Pike's taking texts while we're on the radio. Anyway, the story I always tell about Mark was we were playing the Indianapolis Colts in the RCA Dome back before they had the Lucas Oil Field. And they had a punt returner named Clarence Verdan, who was very dangerous. And he had a penchant for going sideways, backwards, and running around like like one of those guys.
Like a joystick,
And then finding a way to get 25 or maybe bust it for a touchdown. So we were really concerned about that. We actually would think, okay, we want him to go sideways because we had a lot of faith in our ability to cover. And Bruce said, listen, if you get down there, talking to me and Chris Hale or whoever the other gunner might have been, go get to the middle of the field, make him go sideways. We wanted him to go sideways.
Give him an outside lane?
Because he'd go backwards.
Okay.
And we knew with our discipline.
That seems to run counterintuitive.
Well,
to
it did. And we would do that, and we would get him to run because he needed to go backwards because we had a lot of faith in our ability to be disciplined and not give him that.
Okay.
So sure enough, we're running down, and I cut hard to the inside, and he catches it, and I kind of take my shot at him, and I missed him. And then our discipline took hold, and he was trying to dance around and trying to make something happen. And big boy Mark came in. I'll never forget it because I was, you know, I whiffed, and I'm like skidding on my face mask. I turn around and look, and he jumps sideways, and Pike gets both arms around both of his arms.
Clean shot.
Clean shot. And gets him. He didn't hit him. He just kind of grabbed him and then tent staked him, meaning he suplexed him upside down and then – put his head into the ground. We didn't see Clarence the rest of the day.
Clarence for Dan.
Yeah, wow. We didn't see CNN the rest of the day.
Is that your, would you
the call
that?
Our classic, one of my great memories.
All right, we'll let you do that, but then I want to know if that's your best hit of your career.
Okay. No. I saw it.
I had a good one.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about that. But one of my great memories of me and Steve playing, and I really can't remember who we were playing. I don't know if it was Kansas City. I know we were at home, and it was the time we both knocked each other out.
So you both whiffed.
We both got the wind knocked. We hit each other, and we're both laying on the field. They had to come out. Come out and get us both.
That's right. Oh, I can't wait to hear what Bud said.
And Bruce,
when he got out.
It wasn't Bud. It was Bruce. Bruce DeHaven was like, man,
I lost them both on one play. Bruce we hit each other.
Yeah, his two guys that the linchpins of the special team got both on all four. You know, punt return, kickoff return. Well, we were. Bruce, that's
and we not we not get the wind out of each other. Like, I mean, you ever had the wind knocked out of you, like in your suplex? It's like you think you're dead. Like you are going to die.
We actually, you felt like you had to get better in order to pass away. So yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And I remember because after that, we were sitting over there. After you catch your breath, you're kind of laughing, going, "Man, that hurt." He goes, "What were you thinking?" Yeah. I was thinking this. And Bruce comes over. He goes, "You guys okay?"
Yeah. No, I'll tell you my best hit ever.
Yeah,
honestly probably the hit that kind of helped me stick around for a long time was against the Pittsburgh Steelers at home, mm-hmm. Dwight Stone. It was in my third year, and I'm a struggling player trying to stay on the team, and I got thrown out on the kickoff.
86 or 87?
It would have been. I think it would have been 87. I think it would have been 87 because I
86 was your first year.
It was my first year. I was on injured reserve most of the year.
And 87 was Bruce's first year.
That's right.
As special teams coach.
Right. He threw me out there. Right. We were playing Pittsburgh. And it was one of those hits. Like, I'm running just full speed. Got no ability to stop at the time.
No cutting happening here.
He cut back into me, and I absolutely
labeled him.
Annihilated him. It was like the death shot of all death shots. And I just I got up, and I went. I was right on our sideline, about the 20-yard line, and I just went. I got up and I just went to the fans like this, and they went crazy. And I was like, "This is awesome!"
And so that's number one.
And then Cornelius Bennett had a show. He had a radio show, and every week he would give the hitter of the week. I think they called it. He'd give out this little plaque, and he gave me hitter of the week. Hit of the week or something. Yeah. And it was just from that day on, it was like,
I've arrived.
I've arrived. And I was and I was a great special teams player. And I was that one play really changed my career.
And that was, and it's funny how that happens to guys. It happened to me when I got here. I was picked up off waivers and then that next year, 87, when Marv kind of assembled his staff, we kind of finished 86 with Hank Bullis' staff.
Right.
And we got into 87. It was a new staff with Teddy Marchabrota and all those, that crew, and they were really, we kind of hit it, although it was shortened by the strike.
Right.
But, they were looking for players. They were trying to rebuild something. They wanted guys that they could depend on at certain roles. And Mark and I, were able to do some things to get a chance to play. And they were going to say, okay, that's a guy that I can depend on. Yeah. And basically a guy like Bruce, who was in his first year of special teams coordinator, he latched on to us and wouldn't let go. And it was a huge benefit to both of us.
Now I've got a caller that wants to ask you about the block on the onsides kick in 92. Can you walk us through that? Do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah. It was in the Houston game.
It's January of 93. But
it was
92.
It was the comeback game. Yeah. The greatest comeback game. And I'm thinking we had just scored 10 points. I think we had 10 at the time. And we had scored a touchdown.
So 35-10.
I believe so.
Third quarter.
And then we were just like,
I can give you the whole rundown. Yeah.
Yeah, we're giving the onside kick.
We came back, and remember, Bruce wouldn't let us huddle up.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want them to think we were planning something special.
So
he just kind of waved us by and then was like talking out the side of his mouth, say, hey, surprise onside middle. Out the side of his mouth, like he was just waving us out, like, just go kick it off. Just go kick it off. And he called.
And we had worked on it. We've worked on it all the time.
Yeah.
And my job is to hit, really it's force Scott Norwood to recover. I mean, that's really.
Yeah. So you're just a kamikaze guy.
I'm supposed to take out the guy that the ball's kicked that's trying to recover it. And I'm trying to think. The guy slips my name. The guy
Ferrier or somebody like that.
I can't think of the guy. Then I just he kind of went down to one knee to scoop it up, and I blasted him, and the ball came loose.
He hit him.
Which you can't really do anymore.
Rick Graff. His name was Rick Graff. Yeah. That was his name.
The ball can go 10. Then all bets are off. The ball goes 10 yards, which it did.
Yeah.
He had, or if they touched the ball.
Yeah.
Right.
Which he did. Both of those, I think. And he went down on a mark, hit him, and the ball popped. Looked like to me, as I was coming in from the kicker's left, it looked like the ball went underneath and through the guy's back almost. I mean, I don't know how it got out there, but it went behind him. And Christie just
Steve Christie was right on it.
And I mean, so I went in, like after all that was going, the last thing you want to do is let him dogpile.
Because no
matter who starts out with it, somebody else is going to come out with it. And I knew Steve had it, so I reached in, was pulling him out, and got him stood up, and was like cheering, so that the officials would say, "Okay,
Bill's ball,
play's dead,
going this way."
And I didn't even care about it. Mark could have been down there crumpled. Yeah. I didn't know.
And honestly, it's like one of my top plays. I guess most people know that one play. And it was kind of cool to be a part of that.
We had great seats for a lot of great games.
Yeah,
you're telling me
sitting around,
sitting
on the sidelines.
Because here's what the reason that sparked that thing in my head was because when Bobby April was here as the special teams coach, he had a kamikaze play where he would just have four guys on either side of the kicker, like super tight, and they would just bull rush in front of the onside kick. And just smash into whoever was going to be first to field the ball, but it's eight guys coming at him,
stampede.
And then they outlawed that
because
they've all got to be outside.
Yeah, it's a stampede offsides. Yeah, and that used to be the thing. They'd all line up like they were in a huddle. The kicker would lead them out, and they'd chase the kicker right there, and he'd just dribble it along the ground, and you had to have a real, real big set of courage to go.
You got eight guys coming at you, loaded for bear.
And I always tell this. I just spoke to the Bantams, that was, I had to take it down a little bit. But I told them, how important it is to be a really good player, is to, be willing to sacrifice, be willing to do what your coach wants you to do. It may not be what you'd prefer to do or where you'd prefer to play. Right now, Zeke's trying to get in here, so he needs someone out front to open the door for him. So you guys can hear him open the door out there. But I told him, I think one of the things that helped me and Steve and really was a big success for our team is we were willing to, Steve was a receiver. He was a good receiver. I was a defensive end. I mean, we played in college. We were great players.
Well, we played our position six days a week.
Yeah, and that's what, most people are like, hey, you play special teams. But, I was a defensive end. I practiced every day. I played hard, I said, but I was here 13 years and I had one career start.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
I backed up Bruce Smith and I could have, everybody wants to play. I wanted to play. I thought I was a good player. But I backed up Bruce and, other guys. But I accepted that, and it became kind of the mantra of our team. Like, it just was an important part of that. Steve was a good wide receiver. He wanted to play. But we accepted our role. And I think there's today's player, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not one. Yeah, there you go. Fist pump. There you go. Look at that. I love that.
Yeah, our MSG viewers are watching some of these special teams coverage plays. Hey, we got a crack staff back there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But, we were willing to accept our roles, and I think that's what really made us kind of a successful team. There are too many guys today, I think, aren't willing to do that. We'll play special teams for a little bit. And then we had a lot of great things going for us, and Bruce DeHaven and Marv Levy, yeah. And you know,
one of the other things, you know, too, is the league was structured differently back then too. The salary cap has changed a lot of things, because now a young player is expected to play special teams if he's not starting, and if he doesn't evolve into a starter's role, they're going to find another young player with a potential and put him on special teams. So, and plus, the rules have de-emphasized special teams quite a bit as well. You can't do a lot of the things we did.
We'd be in trouble right now, wouldn't
we? You couldn't do it. And so they've de-emphasized special teams to a large extent in certain ways. You know, with a kickoff, there's you don't even have to cover kickoffs anymore. I mean, you can put anybody out there if you've got the right kickers. They ain't going to have to cover it. So because of that, you know, guys don't make careers for themselves doing what we did for so long.
Yeah, Mark Pike joining us on the show, along with Steve Tasker, Chris Brown here on the John Murphy Show, as we kind of take a little trip down memory lane and reminisce a little bit. But the one thing I want to bounce off you guys is our video guys down the hall, you know, Buffalo Bills Entertainment, they've put together this five-part television series, which three of the episodes have aired already on MSG. One was top 10 most memorable moments in team history. They just did top 10 offensive players. They did top 10 defensive players. They've got draft diamonds in the rough. And the final installment, which is top 10 individual performances. What I want to bounce off you guys, being the special teamers that you were, can you at least put together for me maybe a top five Bills special teamers of all time? I know, Mark, you know, you're probably limited somewhat to the 11-plus years you were here. Steve, obviously, you've been around and seen some other guys come through the door since you retired. But if you had to put a top five
guys here, just guys that
Bills players
of all time.
Top of all time. Best special teamers. I mean, you two obviously would be on the list, but who else would you probably put on that list?
I'd start with Scott Norwood's the only kicker to make the Pro Bowl from the Bills.
Christie's the all-time leading scorer.
Yeah.
He'd have to be on it, right?
So would Brian Moorman, who's the only punter to go to the Pro Bowl.
Two Pro Bowls for him. And then you've got the only return man that's gone to the Pro Bowl, Terrence McGee.
Yeah.
Would he be the returner?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Because he's got the most return touchdowns.
And there's, you know, it's hard too, because we had some really quality special teams players with us when we were playing. Chris Hale, Carwell Gardner, Jamie Mueller,
Chris Moore.
Chris Moore was a great punter. I think he was probably the best punter I ever chased kicks for.
Why? Just because he could hang it so
consistently? He had an enormous leg. And
I know
really,
Bruce is always telling him, hang it 40 yards, they'll get it.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea. He was a really unselfish guy. That's why. And he was willing to do it. I mean, the guy, God rest his soul, Rick Tootin, who passed away within the last couple of weeks.
You guys have had a rough year. I mean, Rick Tootin, Bruce DeHaven, it's been a tough year for you
Rick
guys.
Rick Tootin was not an unselfish punter. He wanted to rope it out and wanted us to chase it. And, you know, we did. And we went to the Super Bowl 25 with Rick. But, you know, I thought Chris was a much better punter because he was unselfish and he had the inside the 20 thing. I think he started to think about that a lot more than at that point in history, and now it's become part of the repertoire for all these guys. Who else?
Well, I mean, I remember guys that we, you know,
Garner,
core guys. Yeah. You know, we were talking about Hal Garner the other night, man. Hal was just – he was just a tough, nasty, play-hurt, broken fingers, bummed. I mean, he's just one of those kind. He was just a solid core guy.
He was like
he bought in, he believed.
Like a bull rider. You know,
we had so many guys that, you know, Butch Roll, Dwight Drain, Carlton Bailey, Jamie Mueller, Chris Hale,
Carwell Gardner, I mentioned earlier.
Just guys that, like, you know, throw Adam Linger in
Adam Linger would have to be on the top ten list as well.
You know,
there was a game when our long snapper got a game ball because we had like 15 snaps that he had to get perfect.
Yeah.
You know, like there were six field goal attempts and then seven.
I mean, that's a job that like
never,
people just
and he was money on all.
Yeah. People just don't realize what a difficult job long snapping, short snapping is. Especially here in the weather conditions, and Adam was the best. I mean, he never missed.
He was gold.
And if he missed, if he missed off target by an inch, he was upset. I mean, that's just how quality he was. But yeah, we were really lucky because, you know, like you said, you know, just wasn't Steve and I. We had a lot of really good core guys that just surrounded us, and they were all good position players, and they were all backup players, and you know. But we played together a lot of years. You know, one of my
that helps.
Yeah, one of my favorite pictures I have is we played in '89 in Cleveland. We were in the we ended up losing the
listen,
game.
Listen, I got to tell you, the game. I'll confess to you, I told him I wanted him to take a pic. I said, "You got to get a picture of our kickoff coverage."
That was our best group. I've got that picture framed. My wife, we had just had my daughter in the hospital the day before. We have Kramer. Okay. We get on a plane. We fly to Cleveland. Play the playoff game. It was cold. It was snowy. That picture is the best picture ever.
It's a great
picture. It's our core guys. Yeah. It's snowing. We got.
It's a dull, dingy, great old Cleveland stadium. Yeah.
It's an old school photo.
The grass. Yeah. There's no grass.
Well, we're in the huddle.
No grass on the field. It was just a great steam's coming out of our mouth.
You know, we're not running. We're not doing. We're standing in a huddle, and we're in what is virtually a mud puddle.
Yeah.
At old Cleveland Stadium, and we're in white Bills jerseys,
white
Bills
pants,
white with red helmet. I mean, we jump, you know.
It was a classic picture.
It's an awesome picture.
It had a lot of our just really good Warriors out there.
Well, I'm glad we finally got you over here after Jim Kelly was dominating your time at the youth football camp. It was good to get you in before our show ended.
So
we do have to take a break.
You're commuting back and forth between Eville and here?
Yeah.
That's a crusher.
Yeah,
but good to have you. Good to see you. Glad you're doing well, and glad you're helping Jim out here this week.
I appreciate it.
That's Mark Pike along with Steve Tasker. Yeah. I'm Chris Brown. It's the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.